All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Jordi.
Messi Anko, breaking Major League en la Ciudad del Sol. Here in Miami, we know who's el campeón. Leo my team, yeah. Suarez on the field, always wedding day team. Con mis fechas son win, the trio five singing muchachos. La familia se escucha en los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los rookies quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki-taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en lloro y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Messi & Co. Weekend Update Edition. I am Ashley, joined as always with my incredible co-hosts, Gian and Matt. Happy Friday. How's everyone's week before we get into any, you know, soccer stuff?
Doing great. Excited to be here.
It's Friday. We're looking forward to the weekend. Big games coming up. Very, very eventful weekend, and honestly a whole month of March, to be honest. But so I'm ready for it.
There's so many games. I think there's like five or six games coming up in March. Like, it's gonna be crazy. It's a lot of content and a lot of stuff we're gonna have to be doing. I feel like we're gonna be living here in March.
I agree. No, it is. It's busy, and it's every game is eventful in its own way, and gives us a lot to talk about. So let's start with what was a game that was night and day from the match prior after that crazy New York City game, with the sending off, the injuries, the referee drama. Wow, like that was crazy. And we were like, oh, is this season going to be another one of those? I guess we don't know yet. But what we can say is that Tuesday, Inter Miami soundly beat Kansas City 3-1 with the 4-1 aggregate score, having an absolutely sensational first half. Goals, an absolute golazo from Messi, which we all obviously saw, and that was the highlight. A great goal from Suarez, got Allende on the board. Overall, just a really good performance, and it books us into Champions Cup round 16, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But yeah, boys, I mean, what a performance I think we needed. And a reminder and the confidence for not only the players on the pitch and not only the fans, but I think for Mascherano as well, to be able to see, like, look, you know, he gives them a little confidence, give a little bit of consistency. What are we thinking?
That it was a fantastic game and it was a fantastic result. And just at this point, and I feel like we talked about this before, but it's like, this gives us such great motivation, such great confidence to go all the way, because not only the fact that this is an MLS opponent, but it's like, we're looking so, so good right now as a unit, and we have so many good players. And comparing to the dramatic, you know, obviously, like we said, NYCFC game, this was just, we were just more consistent. Everybody was looking good. And no, it's just something that you want. It's really good. To go out with the 4-1 win on aggregate against Sporting Kansas City, and then now we can look more comfortable and more confident continuing our run in the Champions Cup, 1,000%.
I think Sporting KC, like, no offense against them, they weren't the most formidable opponent, but at the end of the day, I'm really just looking at what I see on the field coming from this Inter Miami team, and I'm really happy with what I see. I really think that when we look back at last season and how many goals we scored, man, like, we were a goal scoring machine. We might actually score more. based on what we're seeing. And I feel like Macedano has come in and really unlocked this offense and done a lot of really good things that maybe Tata wasn't doing. Maybe Tata was a bit more conservative in his play style. And I really like what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a team that is a lot more dynamic on offense. A team, for example, what he's done with Messi and Messi's positioning, what he's done now with Tadeo Allende up front, along with Suarez, I think is really interesting. Suarez is a guy that's always going to be the focal point on the receiving end of the offense, a guy that you're going to want to put the ball into. What I'm seeing a lot from Macherano now is his ability with his strategy to confuse opposing defenses with how he's using Tadeo Allende and how he's using Suarez. Suarez is arguably a top 10 striker of all time. He's a guy that's going to command a lot of attention from opposing defenses. So when you're a defender, when you're a center back on the other side of the field, you're going to be focused on Suarez. What has Macherano done? He's given Suarez the liberty to play on the left flank, on the right mm-hmm. flank. He's actually had Tadeo Allende be the center back. And most of these plays, if you really look at last game and you see, like on that first goal, who's the guy on the left flank with the ball? It's Suarez. Yeah. Suarez, you would have thought it was Jordi Alba. No, it was actually Suarez. And who's the guy in the middle waiting for the ball? Okay, it was a goal by Messi. But if you really look who was in the middle of the box waiting for the ball, it's Tadeo Allende. You would expect for that to be Suarez. Right on the other side of that, when the one where Tadeo Allende scores, it's Suarez again not being the center forward, it's Tadeo. So yeah. I really love what he's really done. He's allowed Suarez to not necessarily stay in the middle, glide over to the left, glide over to the right. I really think that puts a lot of pressure on the center back, saying, who the heck am I marking? Who's the guy? The other thing I think I've really liked with the new look offense, I would call it, is just how there are just so many more options now for Messi. Look, every time Messi receives the ball, he's got Tadeo Allende, he's got Suarez and Jordi Alba in front of him, along with Segovia. He's got four people. They're overloading that back line on Sporting Kansas City. Like, that was a nightmare, I think, from a defensive standpoint.
And yeah.
One before I go on a tangent, I know I'm talking a lot here.
No, I love it.
You're speaking facts. You're speaking facts right
the
now.
The last one I'm going to say is the biggest difference between Tata and Macherano is the speed of how of the moment that they recuperate the ball. The offense is like that. I think the possession game is a thing of the past in soccer. Right, you're talking about like tiki-taka for Barcelona days with Xavi, Iniesta. That doesn't exist anymore. The top teams don't play like that. It's all about speed. Go back and look at that game against Sporting Kansas City. The first two goals that we scored, it was recover the ball, Frey to Busi, Busi to Messi, Messi opens up. Sporting Kansas City didn't even touch the ball on that first goal. They didn't even touch the ball. Same thing with the second goal. Touch like that. It was the fastest I've seen this Inter Miami team play. And I think moving forward, that's probably where we're going to see the season. And that's why we're going to see a lot more goals. They're not even letting the defense settle for the other team. That's not non-existent. And I think that's why this team is going to be so good and why they're probably a favorite to win Champions Cup this season.
Yeah, I mean, again, a lot of facts there. I think 100% agree that, you know, in the New York City game before the red card, we were saying to each other, wow, Inter Miami is putting a lot of people forward and they're trying to create a lot of disruption for the NYC back line. And I think, you know, if there wasn't the red card, if there wasn't et cetera, we would have probably seen what we saw Tuesday or trying to build to that. So I think 100% that's what we're looking at. And it's really, really impressive. A couple different things I want to touch on. We ended with him last week, so we're going to start with him this week. Lionel Messi. I don't know if you guys ever heard of him, but let me just say, and we're going to, you know, we're going to keep track of this almost every episode. That's now 4 goal contributions in 3 matches, and he came out for the last 35 minutes. So I'm saying my 100's not that crazy if you really think about it, because, you know, I would still say, you know, he's not even at 100, like he's not going at 100 yet. Like, you know, and not because he's underperforming. I just mean like he's not even in the midseason, you know, like swing of things. And when they're going crazy, that goal was outstanding, which doesn't surprise us, but it's still great to see. But yeah, his activity, some people were a little worried, oh, he's coming out, you know, earlier than he normally did. But it was just because he got to get some rest, because I would say Mascherano has such right now a steady hold of this team, of how he wants to play, who he wants to play, what he wants it to look like from a defensive standpoint and an offensive standpoint, where he wants his midfielders to be. Really, really impressive. And because of that, Messi got to chill for the last 25 minutes, knowing we got a big season ahead. And so I want to just start by giving, although he doesn't need it, Messi's playing at such a high level, and man, four goal contributions, and all of the goal contributions have been sick. They haven't even been like little tap-ins. Like, each goal or assist has been insane. Like, it's not even the little stuff anymore. Like, they're all crazy.
Yeah, and that connection with Suarez that they have, I mean, we talk about so much about that connection that he has with Jordi Alba, but that same connection with Suarez. And remember, I even said it, even though I'm not the only one, many probably knew the same thing. When Suarez had that ball, you're like, you know where he's going to place it. Like, he's going to put it. Yeah. He's waiting for Messi. That, like, he stopped and he literally was just waiting for Messi to get into that position to be able to give him the ball. He and Messi have exactly 100 career goal contributions between each other, like them connecting.
Yeah.
Whoever scores or not, 100 career. That type of relationship, I mean, it's incredible to have that on this team. You have Jordi connection with him. Now you also have the Suarez connection.
And like, chemistry is everything. If the team doesn't click, you can have all the best players in the world on a team. But at the end of the day, if they don't click, if they don't have that chemistry, like that connection, like you said, that Messi, Suarez, and Jordi and Busi have, like, it's just not going to work. And we clearly see that game in and game out. And I've never seen I don't want to make too much comparisons between Mascherano and Tata, but the one biggest difference, I feel like, besides, like, that's just not strictly tactical, is the fact that Mascherano is so confident in his team, even if it's not with Messi and Suarez on the pitch. Like, he can put his starting 11 out there without them, and like, he'll still know what to do. He'll still know who's going to go forward. He knows what the game plan is. He knows who's going to track back on defense, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Tata didn't. He just played Messi and Suarez and Jordi, and they were like, okay, guys, figure it out. Let's see what we can put together. But this is the complete opposite, and I'm loving it from day one.
I think that any team, it would be hard to, while what you're saying makes sense, I think it would also be hard to fault any team that has Messi on it and trying to build around Messi. I feel like anywhere Messi goes, you're going to try to build your strategy and that around him. But what I will say, one thing about Tata, is we saw that string of games where Messi was missing because of injury in Copa America, and we were wondering how many of those games that they'd be able to win. And I think they ended up winning like 9 or 10 games. So I think that to Tata's credit also, I think he did a good job there. But I think Mascherano, because he's coming with that, he's been with the U20 teams, and he's got a lot of, I think, trust in these young guys, right? That are coming up, and you can see that. So what you were saying, Matt, you can see that trust that he has in these guys, and he really, like, he's taking the burden, I think, off of Messi and Suarez, even though they're always going to be the guys that kind of shoulder the team. I think he's kind of taken that off a little bit with some of these signings that he's did, you know, just Segovia, for example, his ability to play make as well. These are guys that, like, okay, maybe Messi doesn't have to do all the work. So.
Yeah, agreed. And I mean, it's obviously, we're still very early in the season. This is only the third competitive match so far. But I've been really impressed by Mascherano, because you're seeing from day one the style he wants and the players that he wants to complete it. And look, he it's not like we're saying, oh, everything's rainbow and daisies and, like, you know, wait until something hard happens. Saturday, everything that could go wrong went wrong in that match. And he kept his head steady the whole time and did what he needed to do. And then for Tuesday, he made the exact changes he wanted to see and put the team out in the style of play. And I mean, from a youngster standpoint, Ian Frey, Segovia, Allende, I mean, excellent performances from all three in this match. And he made a point of talking about it in the press conference that I love when the young players can play at this and I trust them and I know they're going to do it. Obviously, Noah Allen even came in and made a really big impact. Obviously, we know Yannick Bright is going to be in once he gets healthy and is going to get more minutes. But it was really, I'm super impressed. And
everyone doubted him. Everyone doubted him so far. Yeah, well, he's doing good so far.
Word? Do you remember the word I said? I don't know. This was a while ago, so it's okay if nobody does. But the word, it was when we were doing our episode with Scotty Gian, the word that he's like, use one word to describe Mascherano, what you want to see. I said mature. I said, yeah. What I hope the most is that he's mature. You know, it's not about being Pep or Jurgen Klopp or any of these people or like, you know, Carlo Ancelotti, like trying to be the most amazing tactician in day one. It's about like, do you have the maturity to lead at from your youngest players where you have someone like Segovia and you have Ian Frey who are now having a lot of responsibility to Messi and Suarez, like being able to have the maturity and consistency where every single person in that 20-year age range, right, knows where to play, how to play, what to do, how he wants to see them perform. And yeah, if this is what we're going to get this season, to your point, Gian, after that match, yeah, I think we are Champions Cup favorites. I think that was just an absolute excellent performance front to back.
Yeah, I think they were top before this performance, but when you see this, just how cohesive this team looked,
yeah,
and where people never really doubted the offensive part, even though it looks better than last season, the one part they did doubt was the defense, and the defense is looking excellent with the newer incorporations, with
let's talk about it. We need to talk about it right now. Maxi Falcone with one of the best team debuts I've seen in MLS outside of scoring a free kick winner in the last minute in your home debut for Lionel Messi. I mean, what an outstanding defensive performance by Maxi Falcone. Gian, you start because you were telling us about it. You were speaking that truth. You've seen him play a lot. You know, you obviously watched Ecuadorian matches, Copa Libertadores. Sorry, that's a very difficult word for me to say. But you knew how good he was, and I was blown away. I was blown away by that performance.
Yeah, he's a pit bull. He's a guy that's strong. He's fast. The football IQ is through the roof. He's a guy that Colo Colo is going to miss dearly. They're actually really pissed that he ended up leaving because they were depending on him for Libertadores, Sudamericana, all these important tournaments that, you know, that they're in. And unfortunately, they're not going to have them, but, you know, at least we are. And then I'm happy about that. Like, you know, he did really good. I think that's him and Avilés really understood each other. And I think that was important, especially knowing that was Falcón's first start ever. And it looked good. So that's a great starting point. Sometimes when these center backs start for the first time, the positioning may be off. They may not understand really where they're supposed to be. They had one of these goals. It ended up being an offside, was because of the fact that they were lined up well, the two center backs, Maxi Falcón and Avilés. And then one of these goals, which Ustari ended up grabbing, and then it kind of went away from him and they scored, was an offside. And that just shows the communication was on point. They knew where they were supposed to be. Another one, Maxi Falcón stands right next to Ustari about 3 seconds goal in anticipation before. Like, there was no... didn't look like a shot was coming, but he knew a shot was coming and he knew exactly where to be. And if he wasn't there, Ustari wasn't stopping that. Ustari didn't have enough time to react because there was so much action going on within the box. And I rewatched that play today before doing this episode 3 or 4 times. And I'm like, what was the cue? What did he see? And it's just, he knew that the shot was going to be there. Yeah. And it was amazing. And that's the type of center backs that we need. And I think he's going to do wonders for us. And, you know, if Avilés can stay on the pitch too, those two guys, along with Noah Allen, are our best three center backs that we have. And one of the things, I know that we've criticized Avilés a lot, but one of the things I really liked from him, and I wish that he can maybe work on it more so that he can expand that part of his game. As we don't have, I think since Kamal Miller left, we don't have a center back, and maybe now we do with Maxi, but we'll see, one that can really stretch the game and be able to play out of the back and put passes straight out so that you can skip a whole, you know, front line of the opposing defense and get that ball into transition. And Aviles had a nice ball that he ended up putting that I think resulted maybe in the second goal, that or maybe the first goal, I can't remember. And that was an Aviles pass, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm really happy with this defense. Obviously, Frey, we've been on top of the world about him for a long time too. So I'm really happy for the defense.
And it's definitely when you talk about that, that's part of Aviles' game, right? Like you, bringing that ball out. And now that we have Maxi, he brings not just his game, but he brings his intellect, which I think that we've talked about without comparing to Aviles, where that's something that he lacked in, but he's still learning. But when you bring in somebody who has experienced as Maxi Falcón, somebody who's been in the roughest of toughest of games in South America, in the Copa Libertadores, in the Sudamericana, playing with Colo Colo, it's like when he transitions into Inter Miami, it's just seamless, because it's like, yeah, I've been in these situations a million times, and like he knows what to do, and he just has that high IQ with that confidence in his play, which makes him look super, super good. And I think when you pair that up with Aviles and Noah Allen, it's like they're only just going to learn so much from Maxi, and it's just going to make our defense like a million times better.
That's a great point.
Yeah,
100% agree. And I mean, I think we'll see, obviously, most likely Luján slot in for Aviles for those three MLS matches. And I think everything else will stay the same. I think it's unfortunate for Noah Allen, because, man, does he deserve to start? But, you know, obviously now if you're picking your best four, it is Jordi Alba and it's Maxi Falcón, but Maxi Falcón will need rotation. And, you know, so will Jordi Alba. So Noah Allen will still get his playing time and hopefully be able to have some balance. I do really quickly before we move on to the next subject, which is about who we're playing in the next round. Shout out to Noah Allen, who got to wear the captain's armband for a homegrown player. First to do it, Jordi Alba, very selflessly, very, you know, good teammate, gave Noah Allen the armband to finish out the match after obviously Messi was subbed out, and he deserves it. He's had to play a lot of positions. He's had to grow up very fast and be really instrumental in a lot of aspects of this Inter-Miami team, you know, pre-Messi, with Messi, having to go from being very low expectations and slotting in an 18-year-old kid when we had injuries and we had a smaller roster, and now having to even play, like we saw Saturday, like with Messi, with Suarez, and down to 10 players. Like, he's done it all, and he deserved, I think, in front of the home fans after a great team performance to have that moment.
And that's props. Look, let's give props to Tata for the Noah Allen that we see today, really.
Yeah.
Because Noah Allen was at times the third on the pecking order for left back, right? You had Jordi Alba, you had Negri, then it was Noah Allen. And Noah Allen did give us some nice sparks and really give us some good moments. We kind of saw what he could be in those few times that he did get to play at left back. I really liked what I saw, but then all of a sudden he started playing left center back, and we didn't know what the hell that was doing. And he insisted on it. And then he just came out clear and said, I see him as a center back. And look what we have now. Now he's our third best center back, and he's wearing the captain's armband. So that's exciting. Such a young age. A guy that's going to hopefully be a big part of Inter Miami moving forward. And I think when you talk about this team and how deep it is, damn, you have three starting center backs. Usually you got your two and then you've got a guy that can kind of fill in. No, you've got three starting center backs that at any moment in time, you feel confident with that back line. What a difference between this season and last season with how we're looking. This is really the most complete this team has ever looked.
And there will be a lot of rotation.
In Allen we trust. like you said, the growth from last season, this season is exponential. The trust has grown obviously a whole ton. And Noah Allen has proven to us that he belongs in this team, whether that's as a starter, whether that's a rotational player, like whatever the case may be. He showed us that he belongs in this team full of superstar international players, a kid from Pembroke Pines. And it's insane.
And this should be
what?
I think this should be a example for all the other young guys.
Yes.
That don't give up. Like, keep playing.
Yes. No, 100%. And this is the kid that you want to look up to. Like, if you're a kid playing in South Florida, or anywhere here in the United States, like, you want to look at Noah Allen as your example, because he's been here since the very beginning. He's worked his butt off, and now he was given the captain's armband by Jordi Alba, one of the best ever to play the game, especially at defense, at left back. Like, to have that moment is like a, like that. That is every kid's dream. That is one of every kid's dream, to have that happen. And for Jordi, for Mascherano, for literally just the team itself, Inter Miami, to have the trust to give Noah Allen the captain's armband. It's like, okay, we see you as a future leader of this team, and we're gonna instill this responsibility on you, just to see. Because we believe in you. We believe that you are the future of this team and possibly the future of the MLS.
100%. Yeah, I think, you know, really quickly, it is for this Inter Miami team, part of what they wanted to achieve, especially when Messi came and he said it too, is have this club be one of the premier clubs in the world. And one of the best ways to do that is by having an incredibly strong academy. And you're looking at Noah Allen. You're looking at Ian Frey, who has gone through bad injury after bad injury, and just the belief in himself, the belief in the team. Same thing for Kremaski. Those are three examples of an academy and just an overall environment that is supportive of young players. And if you say, if you work hard, if you're consistent, you will have these chances and you'll get to play with the best who ever did it and learn from it. And that is something that will last far longer than, you know, Messi being our starter, is we will have this academy. And so it was excellent when he got the armband. Everyone in the stadium was super happy for him. Like we said, we have a lot of games. In March alone, 6. We have a lot of tournaments, a lot of games. Obviously, you know, we will see rotation when you don't know. There could be disciplinary things. There could be injuries. There could just be a man of games. Maxi Falcón is not going to play every single minute of every single game over the next whatever months. Jordi Alba, probably the same. You will see rotation. Noah Allen. And just having the belief, right, that, like, if we have to have a sub, if there has to be a change, if we rotate, I have the same belief in Noah Allen that I have in, you know, Falcón, Duhan, whatever, if not more. So good for him. Shout out to him. Very well deserved. Overall, great game.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Good Tuesday night to be an Inter Miami fan. Let's move on to what this means, which is that we are into the next round of the Champions Cup, round of 16, playing against Cavalier FC from Jamaica. And this will be the first time Lionel Messi has ever played in Jamaica, which is funny. I was saying this beforehand. I mean, because obviously he plays for Argentina. And so I just figured over the length of his career, he would have had a friendly or some type of game. You know, obviously CONCACAF and CONMEBOL play a lot of games. I thought that he would have been there by now, but he hasn't. And no surprise, they had to move their game to a bigger field and a bigger stadium because everyone is going to want to see him play. And so now they're sold out. Their 35,000 seat stadium, Independence Park in Kingston, Jamaica. And I think it's going to be a pretty fun match, pretty fun atmosphere. Well, how are we feeling about it?
This is going to be exciting. I mean, honestly, like it's honestly, it pulls, I mean, like, it doesn't surprise me. Right. But imagine you gotta look at from the Cavalier side of things. Like, they're going from a 3,000 seat stadium to now playing in front of a sold out 35 seat stadium. They're gonna be hosting Messi and Suarez and Jordi. Like, this is gonna be an absolute show. Like, what a show this is gonna be. I'm very excited for this whole event, to be honest. And hopefully Messi enjoys Jamaica. I mean, like, playing under that heat, I think he'll be used to that heat by now. So I think
better than minus eight.
Yeah, so I think it's gonna be a lot of fun for them, and to see what they can do, and how, honestly, I'm kind of curious just to see how the pitch is going to be, because I mean, I'm not familiar with, you know, Jamaican fields and how they're I guess maintained, because I feel like every time that we go to a different country, we always like low key judge how they can keep their fields. So yeah, I'm curious to see how nice it. I'm curious to see how nice it looks. I mean, for a 35 seat stadium, it should look pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's not Hawaii, but I would assume they'd probably wear Hawaiian shirts over there. Suarez and Messi, Jamaica. Like, I'm just wondering if they're gonna get off the plane
with
like a daiquiri or something like that. That'll be interesting, because it's, man, that's like a vacation also. But
oh yeah,
it'll be cool for Jamaica. I think obviously the star power to have there, it's gonna be a party, if anything, from what I've seen. Mm-hmm. Jamaica looks like a party place. Like, everybody's always happy, having fun. So this will be a really cool environment, I think. It'll be an overall celebration. I don't know how many fans Cavalier SC has. But this may be one of those where you're going to see a lot of pink Inter Miami jerseys and that sort of thing. So
a lot of Barcelona, a lot of Argentina jerseys.
So I think that may be the case here, especially if you have a stadium that's usually 3,000. I would assume that moving into a 35,000 seat stadium, 32,000 are going to be Messi fans probably, and the other 3,000 will be the Cavalier SC fans. One thing that people have wondered, you know, it's Jamaica. Some other stars in MLS previously, you know, when you're talking about like Zlatan, Beckham, or some of these other big stars, sometimes when you would have to go in Champions Cup games and play in some of these little stadiums, some of these guys didn't want to play. They it wasn't, you know, they're used to playing in Bernabeu, Camp Nou, Etihad Stadium, all these things. They're like, I'm not going to play there. And people are wondering, is Messi going to be one of those? Is he, you know, he's an all. A huge name, is he going to be over there? Where I think, like, look what he did in the preseason, the Americas tour. He was going and playing in different places that he probably would have never been in before, in El Salvador and all these little, you know, San Miguelito, like all these places. I think he's going to play, and I think he enjoys it. He's a guy that likes to, he's a guy that loves the fans, that likes to give them their attention, likes to give people their photo ops. You've never seen him, not to speak in absolutes, but he rarely ever when there's a pitch invader, does he push them off? In fact, when they're taking them away, he'll be the guy that brings him in and gives them a hug and lets them take their pictures before they're escorted off. So I think that's just Messi, and that's how he is, and he cares about the fans, and I think that he'll be excited to go and play in Kingston. And so I don't doubt there's no doubt for me that he's going to want to be there, and the fans, I think it's going to be a party. It'll be nice.
It'll be fun. I keep thinking of the preseason where it was like, I don't know if it may have been in Peru as soon as the match ended, just a line of people waiting to take a picture with him, and he just waited for every single one, knew it was going to happen, just waited, like, smiled for every photo, like, you know, the opposing players, their like medical staff,
that's exactly
the coaches.
What's going to happen too.
And he's just a great guy, and you know, he just, yeah.
Let's not forget though that this is a game though. Like we just kind of like forgot that this is a game. Like it sounded like a photo op party.
So
we're talking like this is a vacation. Like we're going to Jamaica.
Yeah. So no disrespect to Cavaliers. Cavaliers probably their hardest. Obviously, I don't think. I mean, competitively, they're not a support. They're not even this on the same level, I think. But I think anytime that somebody's going to play against Messi. A lot of this, he's probably a hero to a lot of these guys that are going to be playing for Cavalier SC. I think they're going to want to show out in front of their hero, in front of a guy that they've been watching since they were young. And let's just hope it's not along the lines of what that kid from San Miguelito did. You know, maybe it's a little more tamed and that sort of thing.
Right, right.
So I think that'll probably be something that Mascherano will probably watch out for and say, obviously Messi's going to start, but let's kind of look at the game, see how we're doing. Maybe we're up at halftime again. Maybe we're up 3-0. I'll take him out minute 60 and make sure that he's healthy for the next leg here in Miami.
I think isn't the leg here first? Don't we have the first match here on March 6th?
Yes,
so it's actually the second game is there. The first game is here. So that'll help dictate.
They have the higher seed. I forget how this whole it works, but I think they have the higher seed, so that means they have like the second leg at home.
You're right.
So for that one, then I mean, they may just take him out at halftime over there in Jamaica.
We'll wait and see. But it is exciting. It'll be fun. We make it to the next round of the tournament. It's again overall great performance. It'll be exciting to see. But we have another game happening sooner, which is this Sunday against Houston in prime time. And so obviously Friday mornings we see training. And so there was a couple things to note from this training. I'd say probably, on everyone's mind, first and foremost, did Messi train after coming out early? You know, it looked fine. And he, you know, people obviously always looking for drama or looking for things. We're like, oh, is he hurt? Did he feel something? Whatever. He just came out because they got to rest and he got to chill. He trained as normal this morning. And as we all imagine, we'll be back Sunday starting. A couple other notable things, though. Calendar trained with the group, but still, according to Mascherano, not 100%. Cello and Fafa still out with muscle strains. Will probably take a while. And then Avila's trained separately. In my opinion, probably because he's not going to be playing in the next three MLS games. And so he, you know, is not an option for Sunday. And maybe that's part of it. Or maybe he felt a little knock. I don't know. But yeah, I think everything kind of how it's been, right?
I think it's important that Messi's is training. I think that was the biggest question when he went out early. During the game, I think that, you know, anything can scare you when it comes to Messi. He could be scratching the back of his leg because he got bit by a mosquito, and you automatically think that he has, a hamstring injury or something like that. So it's normal just to be worried. So I'm glad to see him training on there. Glad to see Callender training as well. Callender still not 100%, as you said, but it's good to actually see him there with the team. And I think that, you know, having Ustari on the pitch right now and the level that he's playing at and just the confidence that you have in him really is allowing Drake to take the time that he needs. I think maybe if Ustari wasn't there, maybe Drake would have come back a little sooner, not being 100, maybe at 90% or at 95%. I think now you kind of have that buffer with Ustari there where it's like, take your time, Drake. This is a long season. We're still early in. Zero need to have you rush back. So I think that that's at least good. I hope that obviously Cello and Fafa come back soon and are available. I don't, you know, we've had this conversation. I don't know with Frey there, what that might look like when Chelo comes back from injury. Is it knowing that Frey has been injured, you're going to have Chelo and him kind of take turns and be in there depending on just to kind of ease the workload off of each other. So we'll have to see with that. I was talking with Matt before we started the show, and it was good to see at least Fafa on the treadmill. He had one of those kind of anti-gravity treadmills where it puts a little bit less of a strain on him while he runs, and it kind of holds him up. So that was good to see. He looked like in good spirits. That's always good. Fafa, I think, is a really important addition to here. And then Aviles, just keeping him healthy. That's what's really important. We go into Houston. It's only second game of the season. Just make sure everybody's healthy. Maybe we'll see some more rotations now. Mascherano was actually asked about the rotations going into the season, how compared to last season, a lot of times where there were three games in a short span, you were always wondering which one of those games thought that was going to sit Messi, because he usually would. He'd have to, depending on what game, if there was three, he was going to sit one. Mascherano basically said, look, every situation is different. It's not apples to apples. This is the beginning of the season. We start off with a CONCACAF Champions Cup game. Then we have another CONCACAF Champions Cup game. And right in the middle, you've got the first game of the season. How am I going to rest him? He's 100%. He's doing good. What that's going to look like now moving on, because, you know, there's some time between the next Champions Cup game. Who knows how much he'll rest him? That still remains to be seen what that approach is going to look like with Machet. But I look forward to this Houston game. I think that it'll be a different game. As long as we have 11 on the pitch, I think it'll be much different than the game against New York City. We should have a much more convincing win or game.
True. Yeah, I mean, you said it all. I mean, you said it all pretty well. I mean, like, going back to Chedo and Fafa, it always sucks to have pretty, you know, those early injuries early on in the season, especially because they are pretty important players, especially Fafa. We were all looking forward to seeing Fafa do a lot so far, but he's looking good. He'll probably only be out for a couple of weeks, so probably for these big stretch of games here in March, he'll probably be out for those, but then he'll be back in full fitness in no time. With Aviles training out separately, I think it's good, because he'll probably, in my opinion, he'll probably still start for those CONCACAF Champions Cup games, since he is eligible to play in those games, and then he'll rotate out and let the other center backs play in the regular MLS games, which is totally fine and good. So, and in terms of Drake, I mean, and like you said, Mascherano said he wasn't 100% fit. He said that Drake himself said that, hey, I'm not ready to play yet. Like, I'm still not fully fit. So he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't feel comfortable doing it, which Mascherano's like, okay, fair enough. I mean, like, as long as you said he's not, Ustari's doing really well for himself, and we still have Rocco as a backup just in case. So, I mean, honestly, I'm not worried too much about all of that. And I think this is a pretty good update when it comes to training this morning.
100%. And yeah, I mean, look, it's also hindsight's 2020, but we're always ready for the new next thing. Trey Callender has played so many matches over the last 2+ years for Inter Miami. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can count on one hand how many matches he didn't play for the games because of, you know, rotation or something, or maybe a cup game, but has been an absolute soldier for the team and had to play, like we said, with that. He played pre-Messi, he played with Messi, and, you know, having a lot of different players going from being 15th in the league to being, you know, record breakers. He's been a part of that also. Take his time to heal. He gets to have, he will be playing, but nothing wrong with taking the time for it. And I'm glad, like you said, overall training, kind of the updates we expected. Good to see Messi training as normal because of that. I imagine, unless something crazy happens, he will be playing on Sunday, because he does not like missing games. And he knows, you know, the international break is soon for March, and he'll be gone. Knowing there's no major tournament for Barcelona this year, Barcelona for Argentina this year, you know, I think his goal is to show out and be consistent. And, you know, maybe there will be more instances like Tuesday where he starts, he plays, and depending on how the game is going, he doesn't have to play the full 90 minutes. He can come out, he can be rotated in that sense. And the goal is to stay healthy and longevity. So we'll see. But yeah, we'll be excited Sunday. We'll most likely, I mean, I'm like 98% sure, we will be doing a post-match live stream Sunday night. after that primetime game, because, you know, it's one of those nights where actually available and it's good time and it's not a home game. So with all of those factors, we hope to do a live stream. So we'll make sure to keep you updated. But before we go, last topic, I kind of said it as a Freudian slip. Is Messi leaving us to go to Barcelona? Is the Messi era already over?
See, we're trying to kill the mood. We were talking about how Messi's good and how good he is for Inter Miami. Now he's leaving us. No, kidding.
He's leaving. Oh, but, I'm going to miss him.
I don't know. He talks about it all the time. Almost every interview that he does with the media, they ask him about it. And he always says, I plan on living in Barcelona. I look at my kids and I see them. And I remember myself being their age and being in Barcelona. Like, his life, his home is Barcelona. Is he going to leave this season, at the end of this season, in the summertime? I have no idea. But will he return at some point? Yeah, I think so. Honestly, unfortunately, I see that happening. I just hope that it happens on a good note. It needs to happen. It has to happen at the right time. He can't just be leaving us, like, in Miami out to dry, and then everybody's going to get upset and mad about it. I just don't want that to happen. So as long as he leaves and goes back to Barcelona when we've won MLS Cup and we've won Copa Champions Cup, and I'm like, you know what? That's a great send-off. But until then, he's staying put. He needs to stay put.
Look, Messi's contract runs through 2025. There's currently no option for renewal. That doesn't mean that they're not going to talk about it, but on the contract, yeah, there's not an option for renewal. So his contract right now, along with Busquets and Jordi Alba, ends in 2025. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said many times that he would like to, at some point, end his career with Barcelona. The big thing here, and it's interesting because, you know, there's a lot of rumors here, and I think we hear it all the time, even with the things with Neymar and Pogba and all, anything tied with Inter Miami, there's always going to be rumors. But look, in May 2022, journalist Alex Candal was the guy that broke the story that Messi was going to Inter Miami. And what happened? A year later, the Argentinian captain came to Inter Miami. And this is the same guy that's just broke this story that he's going to go back to Barcelona. So that's something to think about. This isn't a no-name guy. This is a guy that broke the news first to Inter Miami. So I think that there is something in there. But here's the important thing to think about. Messi, I believe, as long as Laporta is president in Barcelona, there is no chance that he goes back. There is no chance that he's going to give Laporta the satisfaction to know that he got rid of Messi. He lied to Messi. And then Messi's going to come back and do him the favor and come back and end his career in Barcelona.
When he was still in his prime.
Well, he's still playing amazing. And I don't think that as long as Laporta is there, he's going to go there. Why? Because as we all know, Messi, before he was thrown out, kicked out of the door in Barcelona, was expecting to go back to Barcelona. He flew back. He was going to sign a contract. And to his surprise, he was booted. Like if everything that he did for that team was forgotten. So I don't think that that's going to happen. But here's the caveat. Laporta's presidency is out in 2026. So how crazy would it be if Messi talks to the board and says, I will come back if you don't elect Laporta again as your president in 2026. How sweet would that feel for Messi to make sure the guy that booted him is booted out because he comes back? That to me is the only hope. And here's one last thing. If Messi goes back, I don't know how that'll work necessarily, especially with this Hans Flick version of Barcelona. You already have Rafinha, you've got Lamine, and you've got Lewandowski as the three attackers up front. I don't know how Messi would fit in that, so that's another thing to think about, if Hans would even want him back. So I don't know. I don't think he's going, personally. I don't think he's going back. If he goes back, it's going to look something like what Beckham did back when he played in LAFC, where maybe it's a loan during the offseason. He can go play there a couple of months, or maybe he plays away a friendly game as a goodbye. But to me, Messi's back here in 2026. He loves living in Miami. His kids are here. He's going to want to be in a place where he's going to get a lot of playing time, especially going into World Cup 2026, which I think he's going to want to play. So those are kind of my thoughts as far as that's concerned. I'm not too concerned with him leaving.
Yeah, I'm really surprised by that, Matt, because and maybe I'll be quoted for this and this video will be used against me. There's a 0.1% chance Messi's leaving to go play for Barcelona, in my opinion. There's 0%. And if maybe it will be a friendly, maybe it will be a like a one day contract, like to say, you know, I think that the first of all, like to your point with the person who broke it the first time, he didn't give a date and he didn't get, you know, it was kind of, I think, one of those like you take shots. And again, it's not against his reporting because he was right. And he obviously had good sources to say that that was the future state. He didn't say when or why or for how long he was coming back to Barcelona. He just says Messi's going to come back to Barcelona. Yeah, I'm sure he's going to retire as a player for Barcelona with a one day contract. I bet 100%. Maybe he'll go be playing back in the Camp Nou to do a game, whether it's, you know, for Inter Miami as a friendly, whether it's, you know, a tour, whatever the case may be. Yeah. But professionally, he's retiring with Inter Miami. He's going to extend for one more. He's going to extend for at least the 2026 season, play for MLS, play for Inter Miami, going to play in the World Cup. What happens after if he will play for 2027? I'm not 100% sure. I think it depends on how his body is and how he plays and his level. But if you're asking me if he's going to leave Inter Miami to go play for Barcelona competitively, no. He's not going to do it. It's not in the cards. Lamine Yamal is their starter there. They have moved on from Messi, whether they should or shouldn't, whether the reasoning, all that's fine. Messi's 37 years old, and he is very much a believer, I think, in ending of chapters. He's a believer in, like, loyalty and all of those things. And Barcelona betrayed him. He's not going back. He's not. And I think that those reports saying it are people just trying to stir. And look, if this is clips used against me in the future, I'll be very sad because I don't want Messi to leave me. And this team, you never know. But I think there is like 0.0001% possibility of that happening.
I mean, if you're talking about Messi re-signing, like even in 2027, I don't think that's far-fetched. Some people may think it's far-fetched because of his age, but look what guys are doing presently at their ages. You're talking about Alianza Lima that just knocked out Boca and Libertadores. Yeah. And who are their two forwards? You've got Hernan Barcos, that's 40 years old, Argentino. Paolo Guerrero from Peru, that's 41 years old. Hernan Barcos scoring a goal in Bombonera at 40 years old. Like, those are two guys that don't reach Messi's toes. And they're playing at high levels at 40 and 41. Talk about Messi in 2027 at age 39, whatever it is. Like, I still have plenty of faith, Ash. Like, he's going to be still playing at the top level at 39.
He wouldn't be equipped to do it.
No, I agree with you is what I'm saying. Like, that's not far-fetched. Like, him playing in 2027 still.
He's not playing for Barcelona. It's not. He's not. I'm.
Like he'll play
pretty confident.
But he will play at least a game, whatever game that looks like, because he wants to end his career playing a game in Barcelona. And he said it before. He wants to play in the new Camp Nou. So yeah. I think that what that looks like is probably very different than what some may think of him going and spending a full season with Barcelona and leaving Inter Miami.
The question was, will Messi go back to Barcelona? We're going to come back to this episode.
You made it seem like competitively. No. The way you answered it was as if he was playing for the first team competitively.
He will play a game at Barcelona. He will play a game with Barcelona. He will play a game at the new Camp Nou. He's going to play a game. What you brought up, Gian, about the whole Laporta thing, I think that's genius. I think that's like probably like the perfect scenario.
That's so romantic. It's so poetic. Him coming back and getting rid of Laporta, that would be insane.
Messi's life is literally a movie. And like, that would be the perfect way to just like end the movie.
If that was it, like, would you be okay? Like,
at the end of 2026 or the beginning?
In 2026, I'm not exactly sure. I know it ends in 2026. But look, even though I love Inter Miami, I just think from a football sense, from a soccer sense, it would be so poetic for Messi to knock Laporta out and end his career there. That would just be like just beautiful. I think I'd be okay, even though it would suck that he's not here with Inter. But I don't think that's happening.
Well, we'll see. I mean, we you never know. We can come back to this conversation at the end of this year, whatever. I will say I do expect him to be re-signing for the 2026 season very soon for Inter Miami. And then what happens after, I won't know. But in my professional opinion, as a person who's been doing this for a whole 2 years, my professional opinion is that Lionel Messi is not going to be playing competitive first team for Barcelona ever. He's going to have his last moment there. I think it's going to it's going to be a 1 day contract, and he's going to probably play though a game, but it's going to be for Inter Miami. He's going to play at the new Camp Nou, and he's going to get his sign off, and he's going to get his moment saying goodbye to the fans on the pitch. It's going to be as an Inter Miami player. It's not going to be as a Barcelona player. I feel pretty confident in that. You never know. You never know. But people being like, Messi's leaving to go to Barcelona, with the contract he signed and the plan for MLS, for Apple TV, for Adidas, for Inter Miami, his ownership in the club, his future, he's not leaving. There's too many things that have already been planned, decided, and agreed upon for him to just like leave and go play for Barcelona. He's not going to.
Plus, there's no Publix in Barcelona, so.
Yeah. So enjoy him Inter Miami while you can, and while we will, because he will be here till next season.
Yeah,
we'll see. We will see. We'll see what happens.
Okay. All right. Well, on you guys are trying to bring this down. This team's flying right now.
You brought it up. You brought up the topic of Messi leaving. We could have left it at, oh, Messi got 4 goals in 3 games. You could have left it at him him growing out the hair. We could have left it all at that. But no, you know, we had.
Which of my predictions do you think is going to be more likely to happen? That he gets 100 goal contributions in this season, or he's never going to Barcelona? Like, which one do you think I'm going to be right about?
The 100 goals in this season, or the 100 goal contributions this season. If he plays, I swear, I think I've
said it before. I'm right about both.
That's funny.
All right. Well, we are going to sign off now, and we'll be back, like I said, in 2 days for the post-game coverage of Inter Miami's second MLS match against Houston. That will be Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Exciting things happening for this club, exciting games ahead. We have a very busy March where Messi will be an Inter Miami player. So we can start with that. And man, I'm excited. I know what Q's saying it, but I think this is going to be a really fun season. So much to see, so much to watch unfold. So for this episode of Messi & Co., I'm Ashley, that is Gian, that is Matt, and we will see you next time.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.